time for Vanessa and Gallant.
That sounds good. I'll have that.
Featuring Vanessa Richardson.
This is not a common opinion. This is not a popular opinion.
And Paul Gallant.
Tom Brady is my Lord and Savior.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
He won't leave the zone, you wouldn't think.
That one gets away. Here comes Altuve. Game winner.
The intentional walk moved Altuve 90 feet closer, and he scores on a wild pitch. 4-3 final. The Astros with a walk-off wild pitch.
It was sloppy. It was not pretty. Christian Vasquez made some questionable decisions. Jeremy Pena had an error. But nevertheless, the Astros beat the Rangers 4-3 last night. I'm Vanessa Richardson, Paul Gallant, Sean Mapes with you as always.
Aren't you so thankful that 60% of the American League West is a bunch of idiots? And specifically the Texas Rangers. I mean, goodness gracious, Arlington. What were you doing last night? Jordan Alvarez has not been hitting well recently. And you have an opportunity to potentially get out of the inning by challenging the guy who's been struggling. Nah, let's intentionally walk the bases loaded so that we can get to Alex Bregman. And then, whoops, wild pitch, game over, dummies.
My favorite thing, too, was just the sheer cockiness of Rangers fans and their Twitter handle, Bally Sports Southwest or whatever. That's one of the Twitter handles that will snap back or clap back or whatever the kids say that they do. It's lit, bussing for real, for real. They will clap back. And so Rangers fans were really cocky about this, and then they ended up losing the game.
Did they talk trash? I did not see that.
It's not a terrible level, but if you go on Ben DeBose's Twitter, shout out to Ben, very active on Twitter for specifically the Astros and the Rockets, follow his Twitter. He has it, because I didn't notice until Ben tweeted it. Oh, yeah, they were cocky last night.
There's nothing that gets me more triggered than these little regional rinky-dink TV networks with their fake baseball teams talking trash. You know why I hate the Oakland A's? Because the Oakland A's had this tweet before the Astros A's playoff series.
I remember this.
Like, what are they saying about us now? There's a cartoon of Carlos Correa and Jose Altuve, and then the A's are talking a bunch of trash about a sub-500 baseball team that they lost to in the playoffs. I did not know that the Texas Rangers TV account was talking trash. A people should know when they are conquered, as that guy says to Maximus in Gladiator after that one random barbarian goes, and throws a head at them.
NBC Chicago, where the anchors, the sports anchors, and I apologize if it's not them, stood in the trash can or something like that. Was it them? And they
probably
were, you know, it was something Astros related, whatever.
We need a Death Star.
Here's the thing. The Astros are better than all of you. That's the best part about it, is it's been years after this alleged activity, and the Astros are still better than everybody.
How dare they rebel? How dare they act as if they are not anything but a joke? They, what, fired their general manager? They fired their manager this year? They are a completely directionless organization. And, I mean, you could see it on, obviously, last night's game. I mean, what are you doing? Jordan Alvarez is, I think, grounding out on 50% of his at-bats or something like that this year. So, this month in August, I think Chandler Rome put out the statistic, and I apologize for butchering it, but like he's clearly not himself.
Right.
And you decide that you're going to walk him to go after Alex Bregman, who's been on fire. I don't get it. I don't know what they were doing. And it's good because, as you said a little bit earlier, I don't know what Christian Vasquez was doing on that double steal. I don't think Dusty Baker knew either.
Dusty Baker did not know. Do we have that sound? I don't believe we do from Dusty. But Dusty, somebody asked him if that was his idea for Christian Vasquez to double steal. And he went, come on, man. That was his exact response, which is basically the equivalent of heck no. We do have Justin Verlander, I believe, talking about his health. So Justin Verlander was on the 15-day IL due to a calf issue. Obviously, Astros fans, I think it's a consensus. Keep him there as long as he can be there so that he can get super healthy for the playoffs. Here's JV.
Starting to get off the slope a little bit, you know, just kind of like lightly progressing the calf, and everything's been healing and progressing as we could have hoped, if not even a little bit better. So just, you know, very optimistic, but also being cautious, particularly given the time of the year, not trying to overly push things. But, you know, I think things have gone about as good as anybody could hope for it at this point.
Okay, so I think I feel good. But as always, with any Astro manager, player, general manager talking about injuries, you're like, wait. So
he's one of the more honest ones, though, because remember, he had that press conference. What was it last week where he laid out exactly what his injury
he felt
was?
Like it could have been season
ending. So he may be the one that I'm like, yeah, he's probably telling you what it is. But then again, how did he handle 2 years ago when, you know, he said he might be? Yeah,
he's throwing 100 miles per hour in a batting cage. He should be pitching in the World Series, said many a talking head here in Houston.
Understandably, perhaps so. I'm just glad that they are playing it cautious with him. And if there's anybody else they can be cautious with, that would be great. Though I, again, still would like to see this team score some more runs. I mean, it took some effort. And it's taken some effort of late. I mean, they've been trying to steal more bases over the last couple of games. I don't feel like that's anything to, again, sound a panic alarm over.
We're not in panic man mode yet.
No.
I personally believe panic man may make an appearance soon.
Well, maybe. An actual appearance.
An actual appearance. I don't know if it'll be tomorrow because we'll have NFL, but it could be next week. We'll see. Let's go to some news around the league. Shohei Ohtani has been on fire as far as pitching goes. Dusty Baker had a pretty funny quote on Shohei Ohtani that I found yesterday.
He's checking that out. Dang. That's pretty cool. I wish we could strike out Ohtani.
I wish we could strike out Ohtani, yeah.
So it's because a Clemens child struck
Cody?
Out Shohei Ohtani. Yes.
Yes, Cody. And Cody had him sign it, by the way.
Okay.
So the whole thing was that I didn't do a good job of setting this up, which is on me, but Cody had Shohei Ohtani sign the baseball, which somebody asked Dusty Baker about, and he went, I wish we could do that.
Look, I wish no one asked Dusty Baker that question. I get it. Like, the Clemens played here, but that's such a weird question to ask Dusty Baker about. Like, I don't feel like he has the greater context of that the Clemens are from Houston and that they pitch locally.
It's a great point.
Right?
It's a great point.
So, I mean, he had a nice, polite response to that, but what a weird, annoying question to ask.
Also, I'm pretty sure Cody Clemens is a position player pitching, which is why it's like a big deal that he struck out Ohtani. Does Dusty Baker know that Cody Clemens, A, plays in the league, B, is a position player? Because he doesn't know who the AL starting pitcher
Cy
Young is.
Also,
does he know Roger Clemens' kid?
The one Astros game that was on Peacock, which happened in Cleveland when Dusty Baker had COVID, Dusty Baker couldn't figure out how to put on Peacock, so he watched a Bob Marley documentary and followed the game on his phone. That is official.
I hope he partook in the Bob Marley doc.
I don't think Dusty Baker knows who Cody Clemens is. Some news around the league.
By the way,
continue with the Atlanta Braves.
Really quickly.
Sure.
Aren't there like seven Clemens kids?
There's like four
five. I know one's named Kobe, so there's a Cody and a Kobe.
Yeah, they're all the same format. Kobe,
I think there's a Casey.
Kobayashi.
And then who's the fourth one?
Probably like, I don't know, like Dante.
Dante? Yeah.
Dante Clemens.
Lorenzo Clemens.
Oh, I got it here. Cody, Kobe. This is all with a K. Cody, Kobe, Corey, Casey.
Oh, Corey.
Corey and Casey, okay.
Because Casey is the one that's pretty good that played at UT, right? Didn't he have two play at UT?
Yeah, I was going to say, I think they all played.
Yeah, shout out to the Rockets.
I'm just going to be Dusty Baker here.
Yeah, come on, man.
I wish we could strike out Shohei.
Yeah, that's the response to everything that you don't know. Yeah, I wish we could strike out Shohei. Hey, Vanessa, are you bringing a guy home for Thanksgiving? Why are you still single? Yeah, I wish we could strike out Shohei.
Paul, are you ever going to settle down? I wish we could strike out Shohei.
Absolutely. Atlanta Braves, you had some notes about them.
Yes, so the Braves have come back. They're ahead of the New York Mets in the National League East. The Mets had a 10.5 game lead at one point. And, you know, remember when I was being a fuddy-duddy about that? Remember when I was being an old man about that? Okay, how about win your bleeping division before you celebrate your reliever entering a game? Am I wrong? They just blew a 10.5 game lead.
Yeah, I think it's still I think that at the time that it happened, it was a good time because they were leading, because it is unique, because
the Mets.
They have a Mets director, the guy that directed the broadcast, who went to film school, so it was artsy. But to your point, what have we heard Mike McDaniel say? My press conferences are fun now, but if I start losing, people aren't going to think I'm funny anymore.
Yeah.
It's that idea.
And also that the Braves have caught up relatively quickly. I do wonder if the Braves are going to be the National League representative. It's going to be a really interesting National League playoffs between the Braves. The Mets still hanging around. The Dodgers as well, as we get closer and closer.
Because it's not like the Mets like fell apart. Like this isn't like a classic Mets thing. Is that the Dodgers or the Braves are playing like the Dodgers. They're insane right now.
They've won a million games of their last a million games, give or take. You know, I'm no statistical expert.
They're 1,000,001 in their last 1,000,001.
Talking Yanks tweeted out a graphic from last night's game. Oh. Yankees offense average, Judge, 340, others 207. Home runs, Judge, 21, others 32. Judge, on-base percentage, 481, others 275. And the tweet said, literally a one-man offense since the All-Star break.
It literally is a one-man offense. Yeah. I hate to admit it. He's got to win MVP now. I mean, the team's good. They're going to make the playoffs. Because Mike Trout apparently has 4 home runs in 4 games, too. So now we're back into the Angels have Mike Trout and Shohei Ohtani and aren't doing anything.
Both of them homered last night, and they lost to the Tigers.
Yeah, I mean, the pictures are cool with the fire in the background. Congrats, but they're just not good. All right, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, it is very good, baby. Football is back, and we are reliving Cal McNair's Ask Me Anything last night on Reddit, and you got to stay tuned for this. That's next.
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 98.7.
Wait, what?
I said 98.7, that's my show.
Let's try this one more time, okay?
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 97.5 FM.
You're listening to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Ask me anything, say the girls on Instagram. but it's also what Cal McNair said last night on Reddit. If you're not familiar with Reddit, R-E-D-D-I-T, it is a website that I believe Serena Williams' husband founded.
Interesting. I did not know that.
Yeah, that's why her husband... Am I right?
Yeah, that's literally the only thing I know about her husband, is that he founded Reddit.
Yeah.
How good does he feel about that?
How what?
How good do you think he feels about that?
I'm sure there's an interview where he's kind of walking it back a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, my bad, guys.
I didn't mean to create something so toxic. but yeah, so Reddit's a website where you can basically have conversations, threads. There's really anonymity behind it. Is that the right word? Can I talk? Anonymity? Anonymity?
Anonymity. You're anonymous when you're on
You can remain anonymous when you're on there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you can be anonymous. Right? So Cal McNair didn't ask me anything on Reddit. So it was Cal McNair behind a computer screen, and we're thinking maybe a couple other people, PR, etc. But Texans fans could ask him anything. He had a couple of responses that were funny. My favorite that I saw online involved Nick Caserio, where he said he has wanted Nick Caserio for years because he was asked about it, and said, I even got in trouble with the NFL. Yeah, you got a tampering charge.
He did get a tampering charge. Now the cat's out of the bag. You're not going to get in any trouble.
But I thought it was a cool response.
It's an honest response. And look, I know that we all have some questions about Cal McNair. Maybe it's due to the fact that he's been so much of a recluse. He's essentially like Robert Pattinson, Bruce Wayne in The Batman, where he's keeping to himself. You never really hear from him. And all that you've heard or rumors about how one time he was in his office playing video games or something like that. And people take that and they run with it. But if a guy like Cal is trying to get Nick Caserio as GM of this team, not once, not twice, but 3 times, and did eventually get him, and based off of what we have seen thus far from Caserio, will you give him a little credit?
Yeah.
I feel like you will because you're fair. I think Sean will. I'm not sure Joel Blank will in the Killer Bees later on this afternoon. I'll give him some credit for it. I'm asking the person listening in their car, 713-780-3776, do you give him credit on that? Because I think he does deserve a little bit of credit for sticking to his guns with this guy and bringing him in. And the early results have at the very least been nice. There's a lot of things to criticize Cal for, but
And we have ad nauseum.
Yeah, I liked reading that.
This was actually the third attempt by our organization to bring him to Houston. That was cool. Somebody said, who's a member of the organization that you don't feel gets enough recognition? He said, my mom, which I thought was cute.
Yeah, that was.
There were some funny moments, too. Somebody asked about the controversial, it's football time in Houston. Can we get someone else besides Clay Walker to sing the national anthem? And can Paul Wall perform at every halftime? To which Cal McNair responded, what do you think about having Paul sing the national anthem and Clay perform a Paul Wall song at halftime? Dutch. That's where I think it might not have been Cal.
I agree. It was too funny. I actually responded to that question
Did
and
you?
Said, actually, how do we get more Clay Walker?
You would.
I would like more Clay Walker. And maybe he was asking for me to sing the national anthem, Cal. I'm ready. I'm able. But that is one of the things that people have been driven a little bit crazy by. I played that music for somebody last night, the football time in Houston.
Who was it?
I played that song for somebody last night, and they found it to be quite insufferable.
Wait, did it just pop on while you're in your car or something driving around? Like, oh, this is just part of my playlist. You know, it really gets me excited for the day.
No, I was just talking to somebody about the experience at a Texans football game. And
you should come with me, girl.
Then I brought up that song because I think it's hilarious, but I know it's terrible.
You know, most guys play like Marvin Gaye, Luther Vandross.
Different people get
Anita.
In the mood in different ways. Maybe I need to hear football time in
Clay
Houston
Walker's what
to
you
get
play for women.
Ready to go. Help. Whatever, it's fine.
Saving
okay?
money by not going on dates going.
Anyway, another thing that I found interesting in the Cal McNair Ask Me Anything on Reddit was this. So they're talking to the NFL about a fan research study about the uniforms to make a possible change. I thought that's cool, because I think some people are kind of frustrated that the jerseys have been relatively the same for a while. But they're thinking about a free jersey swap for specific jerseys.
I wonder which one that could be.
In October. Someone asked that specific question, and I was like, that is a great move, that you could swap out a Deshaun Watson jersey for potentially someone else. So that's something that I guess might take place in October. Honestly, I feel like you should do it not just one day. You should do it over a multitude of days, because I think a lot of people want to get rid of that thing.
So if you guys remember, Cal McNair was compared to Tommy Boy per a couple of people in the organization. Who wrote that article? It was a Big J journalist. And was it
Sports
Peter King?
Illustrated?
Sports Illustrated might have been it. It because it was on Jack Easterby, that whole situation. So they compared. This article said that people in the organization behind the scenes compared Cal McNair to Tommy Boy, of course, the movie starring Chris Farley. One of the questions was, are you a fan of the major motion picture Tommy Boy? It's one of my favorites. Cal McNair, or whoever was behind the screen, clapped back with what I thought was a very clever response. I am, and it's one of my favorites too. Didn't Tommy Boy save the company? That's how I remember that movie going down. Which, let me just say, whether this was Cal, Hannah, the PR staff,
whoever did it,
the fact that now they are joking around about things and being lighthearted is the best method.
I totally agree. If you're going to be seclusive and hiding in your ivory tower, people are going to think you're not a man of the people. And while I have a hard time believing that Cal McNair has ever used
the
grill,
any billionaire is a man of the people. Just FYI,
I agree. But and again, you know, the optics thing—they're definitely going for it with this, with Cal McNair grilling something. Let's be honest—he's only had catering probably his whole life, outside of maybe a handful of times, and I doubt that the handful of times went particularly well. I honestly would not have wanted one of the burgers that Cal cooked. That's fine. It's no offense to you, Cal. I know what good cooking is, because I do a little cooking myself. But to acknowledge something like that, which is definitely a pointed insult at Cal McNair in those comments that he's not supposed to get, I thought that was a fantastic job. Also funny, when asked about why he employs Jack Easterby, he found a screenshot of somebody saying that Cal McNair won't answer any questions about Jack Easterby, and just posted it. First off, it's not true, and second off, I don't want to answer questions about that. Let's focus on the team, people, which I think is, again, whoever's finding that reference, that is definitely not Cal McNair. But then he actually answered the question, and he said, Jack helps Nick and Lovey from an operations and logistics perspective. We feel like everyone is in the right role. That's the PR response. I thought it was funny, though, that he gave a funny response to the question as well about Jack Easterby's role.
Absolutely.
Definitely didn't really give you an answer, but hey, at least he made me laugh while saying nothing.
And you know what? There, that might be the most clarity on Jack's role that we've gotten in a long time. And I say that with all seriousness. He helps Nick and Lovey from an operations and logistics perspective. We feel like everyone's in the right role. This was a good move by Cal McNair to do this, or the PR staff or whoever thought of it. It is the most, and I cringe to use the word quote-unquote relatable, but they're really giving a lot of effort this year.
Yeah, they are.
McNair, behind the grill, grilling hamburgers and hot dogs for people at Texans practice. They're doing this. They have new H-Town shirts. They have Lovie Smith, who's really bought in, and the whole coaching staff on connecting the city to the team. So, listen, I've been hard on the Texans just as hard as everybody else. They are giving a lot of effort, and I thought that this was cool. Did anything else stand out from the Ask Me Anything?
In agreement with you, you can't change your image without actually making the effort. He was asked about playing video games. And there's been like this story about how he plays video games in his office.
Mike Silver and Sage Rosenfeld.
Correct.
It was on Mike Silver's Pass It Down podcast.
He kind of denied it. And this was one of the answers where I'm like, okay, maybe this was actually him. He said, "What are you gaming on these days?" "Zelda." "Just kidding." Good choice if he's gaming on Zelda, by the way. "I saw that story floating around the internet and I got a laugh out of it, but it's not true. I've never played video games in my office before, and it's been an extremely long time since I played any video games. I've always had a little area with a TV chair and a remote in my office that allows me to watch film." I doubt he's watching film. "I imagine that's what they saw that day and they were just confused." See, that one I feel like was authentic, Cal. It's a little bit of a denial. There's nothing wrong with admitting you play video games. You're a billionaire. Who cares?
Also, wasn't there report, maybe I'm misremembering it, but wasn't that he was playing like Call of Duty or something?
It was something like that, and it was Sage Rosenfels telling this to Mike Silver. I believe it was Sage.
And it wasn't that,
wasn't
oh,
it?
He was playing Madden or something, because if he was watching film, it'd look like Madden. Like, it wouldn't look
right.
Like he's playing video games.
No, you're right. You're right.
And to Paul's point, I mean, whatever, he's a billionaire. You kind of expect him to do this in the office.
He didn't answer any of these questions, whatever. It was funny, and I hope that some people believe that he did, because I would like everyone to not collectively roll their eyes whenever they hear this team's name mentioned in town. Because that's what they do right now, and it
there
sucks. And this is how you change it. You stop acting like you're above it all. You stop acting
that's
like everything is fine.
That's a great way of putting it. You stop acting like you're above it all and like you don't need to interact with people. Because I got to tell you, if you are a Super Bowl winning franchise and you've hoisted Lombardis, you can do whatever you want.
Mm-hmm.
If you haven't, and if you've had a really rough go at it, you have to be a man of the people. Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, we are going around the league, baby. The big storylines as the time is now. NFL season kicking off tonight. But first, Paul's going to tell you about BUSR.
BUSR.com/ESPN. Do you like gambling? I like gambling. Sports are fun to gamble on, because guess what? You could watch a game and give yourself a little extra incentive to root for somebody along the way. Maybe you're going to gamble on tonight's game between the Buffalo Bills and the Los Angeles Rams, the defending Super Bowl champion. Or maybe you're a smarter gambler and you're looking, taking a look at some of the futures in BUSR.com/ESPN, where if you deposit up to $1,000, you will double your deposit within the first 24 hours. Maybe you want to bet on Dameon Pierce to be Rookie of the Year. Plus 900. That's pretty good. He's not going to be competing with any quarterbacks this year. Maybe you're looking for the coach of the year. You don't want to be crazy and bet on Brandon Staley, who's the favorite at plus 1325. That's insane. Philadelphia might have the best record in the NFC. Why not Nick Sirianni? BUSR.com/ESPN. He's plus 1600 there. So you get a little bang for your buck. Put a little bit down. Might get a little bit back. You can do a lot of sports gambling on BUSR.com/ESPN. Roulette, blackjack, horse racing, all sorts of props. You got to go, though, to BUSR.com/ESPN to sign up today. And again, you double your deposit in the first 24 hours.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Administration of employee benefits is a hassle. Let HRNP eliminate those burdens and save you money. Visit HRP.net today.
We're ready for some football, baby.
Dad, hush!
Tackling the biggest news in the NFL.
This just in.
With Vanessa and Gallant. The 10-minute drill starts now.
Football time.
The Cowboys, one last gasp. They have to hold here. Allen, it's over.
And what a smart play. Don't go out of bounds. Lay down. You've got the first down. You win.
Good night.
The final score. The Texans win their opener 19-10 over Dallas.
All right, it is the NFL countdown. We now call it the 10-minute drill. You know why? Because there is no countdown, baby.
It's
zero
over.
Days. It is tonight. We started this countdown at 100.
We did.
And it seemed like there was never going to be football.
It really did.
We went through each, it's 95, it's 87, 72, 65.
And had to do the math every day to really
that
determine.
That was the hardest part. Coming up with the storylines was not hard at all because there's enough pettiness in the reality show that is the NFL. But we counted down every day, and we are now at zero as the Bills and Rams kick off tonight. Now, usually Paul gives us a jersey number here, but the number zero, apparently, according to my research, hasn't been issued since 1973 when there was a number standardization in the NFL.
So, instead, I will give my memory of the Texans' first ever game. I was 13 years old at my dad's fiance's house.
Oh. Oh,
I did not know that she was the fiance at the time.
I remember
watching that game and being like, oh, yeah. Little did I know that the person who got the sack along with Gary Walker to give them a 9-point lead on a safety would be someone I would be hosting a radio show with 10-plus years later. That was Seth Payne along with Gary Walker. They clinched the game with the sack. So that was pretty cool. It was cool to go back and watch that and just see like how much bigger Seth was back then. But very cool to go back in time. And I can't believe that was 20 years ago. That is really insane to me.
And it was 22 years ago, 2 days ago, September 6, 2000. We saw a video on Twitter earlier that Bob McNair unveiled the colors, the logo, the brand, everything for the expansion team. You know what really stood out to me about that, other than the fact that the year 2000 was 22 years ago, which makes me want to jump off a building, was just the fact that the NFL has grown so much. Not that it wasn't a big deal back then, but if there were a new team today, there would be a music festival. There would be 3 weeks of NFL Network content. Yep. Every major news outlet would be there because the NFL makes more money than any other league. And this was like a decent crowd downtown with their grunge clothes on in 2000. So definitely interesting to see that. But a lot of ups and downs in the franchise, but we're glad that there is one
sure.
here.
A lot of
yeah,
downs.
There's my sunny side up. All right, so everyone's picking their Super Bowl predictions, which we will do later in the show, by the way, and we want your opinion as well. This was rough. Rich Eisen, as well as a myriad of other folks on the NFL Network, there were six of them. Rich Eisen, Steve Mariucci, Kurt Warner, Michael Irvin, Cynthia Freeland, Rachel Bonanno, on a show on NFL Network, all picked the Bills. All six of them.
Good Morning Football, too, has had multiple people pick the Bills to win the Super Bowl.
It makes me not want to pick the Bills.
I think that is a very natural reaction. That
and
everyone's
it's not
picking them.
Oh, everyone's doing it. It's because this means the target on their back is, for some reason, bigger than the target on the back of the Rams. I don't even think anybody's thinking of the Bengals.
It's going to be weird, too, because I imagine there will be a ton of Bills fans at tonight's game at SoFi Stadium. Like, I bet it will
be. They travel.
I bet it'll be 30% Bills fans, probably more. How weird is that, that it's the Rams getting their rings that night? Now, maybe L.A. will surprise us and actually show up, but unless they're being told that it's a Lakers game, I don't know that they're going to actually show up in droves, or if they feel like there might be some Astros fans that they can mug or something like that. I'm a little bit hesitant when it comes to the Buffalo Bills.
Same here. All right, Matthew Stafford kind of tried to downplay his injury while Sean McVay didn't downplay it at all. Sean McVay had said it was kind of like a pitcher, et cetera. Sources told ESPN he actually underwent an elbow procedure and is still getting shots in his elbow. Here's what Stafford had to say about his injury and his throwing arm.
No, I feel good. I feel good. I'm ready to go. No limitations. Still think there's, I don't know. I feel great. I mean, I'm ready to go play. Can always be better. Can always try to feel like I'm 21 again. I'll keep trying. But I feel really good. I feel like I can make every throw. I don't know what else you need to hear from me.
It's hard to feel salt.
Yeah.
I still think Stafford's one of the toughest players in the league. The guy has taken a lot of abuse over the course of his career, in particular the 2 seasons that led up to him winning the Super Bowl. And it's going to be, I think, very cool for Stafford to see him in a myriad of commercials, which I don't think we had ever seen him in any until he had that AT&T one that we saw throughout March Madness, where he's like, hey, you know what's great? When you leave something that you really enjoyed and you get something new, and it's even better, and it works out right away.
That was a funny commercial, and it was like the first time that we saw Stafford's personality that everybody in sports media says that he has, that dry sense of humor. We were able to actually see a little bit of that sense of humor.
I think the reason the target is not as big on the Rams' back is entirely because right now people are not 100% sure about Matt Stafford's health, his elbow in particular.
And it's hard to repeat. Historically, it hasn't been done a whole lot. All right,
Patriots,
so there's been a little bit of a beef between Baker Mayfield and the rest of the Browns. He acted like the split was amicable. He wrote a nice little goodbye letter to Cleveland a month and a half before he went to the Panthers. Nick Chubb had something to say about it. Here's Nick Chubb on all of the talk that he's heard Baker Mayfield do.
I don't know. Well, we all know Baker, so I don't know what to expect.
Is that a shot?
I don't know if it's a shot as much as just the reality that Baker Mayfield is a little bit loony and inconsistent.
Very emotional.
Yeah, emotional.
Look, if Nick Chubb was expecting a response, who would have guessed it? At the very end of his press conference with the Carolina Panthers, Mayfield did respond.
You know, a big hug from Nicholas Chubb would be a really, really good gift. You know, just to hear him say a word would also be nice. You know, the mime that he is, yeah.
He has to win if he has this attitude. That's my biggest takeaway.
It's funny, that whole press conference, Vanessa, I watched the whole thing, and up to that point, he has nothing but good things to say about his time in Cleveland. Seems like he's got no issues. And then he's just asked, hey, like, what do you want after the game? Is there anyone on the sideline that you want to hug or something like that? Unprompted, right to Nick Chubb.
He is the king of petty. I do respect it, but I've said this over and over and over again. If you're the king of petty, you have to win.
Yes.
And you have to be really good at what you do. He complained after Cleveland did mistreat him. Now he has to win. One of the biggest offseason storylines is still not resolved. Lamar Jackson and his representation, a.k.a. his mother, have not gotten a new deal with the Baltimore Ravens. He had said that the cutoff was the start of the season. Here's Lamar updating on his contract.
As of right now, you know, we're still talking. You know, the week's not over yet, but soon, probably be a deadline, probably be cut off after this week.
I saw Florio had a big breakdown of this, saying, like, well, if you say probably, it's not really a deadline, but I imagine that if you are really looking to get the most money you possibly can, then you actually have to hold true to said deadline.
I actually think he's being serious. I think Lamar is a lot of things. I think maybe he can be petty on social media. I think he makes interesting decisions. I will say this. He believes in himself, and he seems to be relatively honest.
Why doesn't he just say that there's a deadline then?
Yeah.
I don't know. Why doesn't he just hire an agent?
My favorite thing is to listen to the sports media buffs like Schefter and Rappaport and all of them try to talk about it because they're not getting any info on it.
Right.
Because the Ravens brass isn't telling them anything, and Lamar and his mother are not telling them anything. So it's a bunch of, my understanding is that a deal hasn't happened yet, but that it may. And that's basically the end of the reporting because they don't have some guy with slicked back hair and agent that lives in New York giving them.
That's anti-Italian discrimination.
No.
Pro Football Talk would have a field day with stuff like this. Whenever a player didn't have an agent, he would always be like, the player should have actually gotten an agent. And I always thought to myself, he probably got Florio texted by a million different agents saying, like, this is ridiculous. I can't believe that they're operating that way. They was like, let's make some content out of all this anger.
Lamar does not, it doesn't bother him to sit in Steve Bisciotti's office and the general manager's office and just say, this is what I want. I respect it. All right, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, we've been waiting all week to do this. We are picking our AFC divisional picks, and we definitely want your opinion on who you think is going to win it too. We will then do the NFC after that. 713-780-3776. We've got some bold predictions. That's coming up next.
ESPN 97.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Guys, it's here. The NFL season is here. We couldn't be more excited tonight. We have Bills, Rams, a lot of storylines with that. And we'll get to some of those storylines throughout the show, but we thought it would be fun to put our money where our mouth is. We're not literally betting money because we're poor, but we are going to talk about the AFC in this segment, NFC next. And we're going to give our prediction for each division. Sean, do we have any music? A little underground music maybe that we could play?
Ooh, yes. Love. Is this Sam Spence?
Nope, this is Rights Free Music.
Rights Free,
Rights Free Music?
Yep,
okay,
we are allowed to use this, Paul.
Okay.
Stop naming people.
But no, this is Sam Spence, like the NFL film Sam Spence.
Yeah, this isn't that, though.
Oh.
Definitely not.
Okay, never mind.
Stop asking questions.
This is Bells and Jingle.
Guys, we're going to start with, we're going to go division by division. And
yes.
We are going to talk about what team we're picking to win and why. We're going to go a little deeper with this first one because it's the AFC South, yeah. Obviously. My pick is the Indianapolis Colts. This wasn't that hard. Yeah, well, this wasn't that hard of a pick to make. I don't think the Jags and Texans are going to be able to compete at a super high level. I do not believe in Ryan Tannehill, and I don't believe in what the Titans are continuing to do. I think Mike Vrabel is a great coach. I think if Derrick Henry can stay healthy, I may be eating my words halfway through the season, but I don't believe in Matt Ryan. So I think the Colts are going to be solid. It's not about, though, the Colts as much as it is the other three teams in the division, if that makes sense. So, yes, I'm being a homer here, but I'm not saying the Colts are going to the Super Bowl. It's about the fact that, yes, they're solid, but it's going to be a weak division.
All the people in Indianapolis are going to be so disappointed that you don't have the chutzpah that Lance Zierlein does to pick the Colts to get
on
to the Super Bowl.
NFL.com.
Yeah.
Who's
your
pick?
So I'm picking the Colts to win the division as well. I hate to say it, but they have structurally, I think, the most sound organization. And, I mean, at a certain point, you would think that that would translate to more than just
they're hoping
9-10 win team. Maybe Matt Ryan is the difference. We will see. I think that he gives you a lot more than what the Titans have to work with, and that's the big thing. You traded A.J. Brown. You lost Harold Landry to a torn ACL. Derrick Henry's health isn't a certainty. Ryan Tannehill isn't a very good quarterback. That's too much, I think, to overcome. My other prediction is that the Texans will not finish in last place in the AFC South. I can't determine, though, between the Titans and the Jaguars, who's going to finish in last.
Definitely Jags.
I don't know. It's definitely the Jags.
I think it goes Colts, Titans, Texans, Jags.
I think there's a chance that the Jaguars have a serious period of growth this year. I do think that we're putting a little bit too much stock into how much Urban Meyer was holding them back. But they are a young team. Doug Peterson is, I think, a good coach when he doesn't have someone meddling with him like he did in Philadelphia with Howie Roseman, who might be a good GM. So I'm torn. I think this could be a disastrous year for Tennessee.
Sean, who's your AFC South pick?
I'm with you, too. I think it's the Colts, and they have the best roster, like talent-wise, top to bottom in the division, and they also have the best quarterback in the division, pretty clearly, because none of us are big Tannehill supporters. So I think it's the Colts, and like you said, a lot of it is kind of the product of the division
right.
that they're in, that it's so obvious. I mean, if you put them in the West, they're probably last. If you
that is a different story.
North,
it's a great point.
If you put them in the North, they're like third, fourth.
Yeah.
So it is, you know, a little bit, you know, it's like Peyton Manning, just eating up on a bunch of lesser teams, and that's why they don't do anything in the playoffs, you know. But
okay.
We'll get to that when we talk about the playoffs. But, yeah, I'm going with the Colts.
All right, that is our pick for the AFC South.
All Colts.
Go Colts.
Ew, don't say that. Disgusting.
Colts Nation.
Colts
Nation. Right.
Shut up.
Colts Nation.
No.
Let's go to what could be
that's only the Broncos. Stop.
Viewed as arguably the most difficult decision of the entire NFL, the AFC West. Paul, I'm going to let you go first here.
Okay, AFC West. So sometimes you got to put some big old onions on the table. So let me plop them down.
We picked the same one.
Chandler Jones, he's on the team. Davante Adams, he's on the team. And I like Josh McDaniels as a coach. I know you don't. I think get good reasons to not go to Indianapolis. Not just Andrew Luck related. Heard some other rumors of late over the last couple of weeks. Nothing like
Wait, were these reports?
Yeah, they were just like leaked rumors, and it was like details about it was on like Chris Long's podcast, like why Josh McDaniels maybe didn't go to Indianapolis. He was talking with Julian Edelman. They weren't going to specifics. They hinted at something, though, and it wasn't like it was Andrew Luck. And I was like, oh, interesting. I think, like, Jim Irsay turned off Josh McDaniels was the implication that I got from that. So, anyway, I like the Raiders out of the AFC West. Yes, in a division that does feature the Kansas City Chiefs, who I see as being the team that's runner-up in the AFC West, and I think they'll get a wild card spot out of it.
We didn't plan this, I promise, but I love the combination of Carr and Adams. I think it's going to be great.
They always wanted to play together.
Yeah, they got Rock Ya-Sin from the Colts. I think just Adams, Renfro, Waller is going to be intriguing and has the potential to be dominant. And then, like you said, fellow Syracuse grad Chandler Jones was a big offseason addition. But the AFC West is tricky, and it's definitely the one getting the most attention. We know we have a Justin Herbert lover over here. Sean, who is your AFC West pick?
I'm going with the Kansas City Chiefs. Okay. I think just there's so much upheaval. There's so many teams that are moving in new pieces. I just trust the Chiefs with Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid to figure it out. Last year, they basically couldn't play offense for like 6 weeks of the season, and they finished one game back of the one seed. So that's the kind of margin of error we're dealing with the Chiefs. They roll out of bed, and they're just the most consistent team, probably in the AFC at this point, with Brady moving on from the Patriots. So give me the Chiefs, although I do think that this – I mean, when we get to our wild card kind of picks, I think there's going to be a lot of AFC West in the playoffs.
Yeah, could be.
I think that there's going to be one, but –
One for a wild card?
Yeah, but I wouldn't.
Because it's impossible for all four, right?
It's possible.
It's theoretically possible.
But mathematically, it's
highly
very
unlikely.
But this division, I think that the Broncos are going to experience second half of the season Russell Wilson. And, the Chargers, like, I'm sorry. Brandon Staley needs to prove me wrong. And I think Justin Herbert has a little bit more to overcome with that head coach. And, look, the Chargers, they have historically bad luck. I mean, am I going to bet against them to have some random catastrophic injuries submarine their season like seems to happen every year?
Exactly. Like, I love Herbert. I think he's awesome. But just there's so much to overcome there.
Playing on the road every week.
Yeah, there's so much to overcome with the Chargers and everything they have going on. And then the Broncos, I think when they first got Russ, we're like, oh, look at that. The missing piece. They're a quarterback away. It's like, they're not really the same team that they were 2016,
2017. And everybody, the whole quarterback away, I feel like you can only say that if you lost certain games. Like, the Colts legitimately were a quarterback away, mm-hmm. I think, from a couple either. Maybe not the Jags, as you've brought up the defense. But, like, the game that they lost against the Raiders the week before that, they were a quarterback away from winning that game, which would have secured a playoff spot. So, the Broncos, to me, are not the quarterback away, and I get tired of hearing that because I think it's so cliche.
Yeah, I think they're farther back.
Yeah, AFC North. Sean, go first on this one. Who's your AFC North pick?
Baltimore Ravens. Yep. I think they're going to kind of feast up on the Browns without Deshaun Watson. I think just missing 11 games is just too many to miss, especially when Jacoby Brissett is the one replacing you for 11 games. So I think the Ravens, I mean, everyone knows about all the injury luck and that they had last year and how that normally doesn't carry over year to year except for if you're the Chargers. So I think just having J.K. Dobbins back, who missed all last year, having real running backs. I mean, they had Le'Veon Bell and Latavius Murray like in week three of the season. Like, they got desperate at running back really fast. They're a running team. Lamar's in a contract year. So if you do think that he's going to regain at least some of that MVP form, it would come in this year.
We may be in tandem on this because I picked the Ravens as well. And I like the Bengals. I think that Zach Taylor and the Browns did a really, not the Cleveland Browns, but the Brown family brought in three new offensive linemen because, as Ed Ogeron said on our show, they have to protect Joe Burrow. I think the Bengals are going to be good. I just think that with this being the contract year for Lamar, and I don't know that people have Lamar figured out as much as they think they do. Oh, he runs the ball. Everyone knows what they're going to do. They have some new pieces in place. Last year, they were not only affected by injuries. Do you guys remember they were like the heaviest COVID team for some reason? Like, they had to reschedule three or four of their games throughout one of those seasons. I just think that they've had some bad luck as well. And I think they have the potential to do some good things. So I picked the Ravens.
I also picked the Ravens. I do think that the Bengals will make the playoffs. And just to talk about Cincinnati, look, I think that they've got a couple of tough games to open up the year. If you take a look at their opening schedule, Pittsburgh, Dallas, the Jets not so much. The Dolphins should be at the very least competent. Baltimore and the Saints. I think they could be off to a slow start as they get their new offensive line in gear. But I think that they're going to finish strong, much like they did last season. I think Baltimore's just going to have the best record in the actual AFC and takes the one seed like they did a couple of years ago. We'll see if they actually blow it like they did to the Titans the last time that they were that one seed.
All right, AFC East. I like probably several people in picking the Buffalo Bills.
Me too.
Everybody, I think it, that's something that's been pretty much in tandem as well. When you look at their schedule, all right, you know, I don't want to be schedule girl here. They have the Titans, the Dolphins, Ravens, Steelers, Packers, Chiefs, Jets, Vikings. They don't have the hardest schedule in the world.
You feel good about them in every one of those games,
but
at the very least.
It's like when you look at the fact that they added Von Miller, I'm a big Von Miller girl. I think that he still has gas left in the tank. He's been pretty much successful everywhere he's gone. I did have them going to the Super Bowl. Now that everyone's picking them, it makes me think they have a huge target on their back. But will they win the division? At the very least, I think so, yes. And you say Bills as well.
I also took the Bills, and being the homer that I am, listen, Vanessa picked the Colts to win the AFC South. I'm picking the Patriots to make it as the seventh wild card team.
Oh, okay.
They're going to figure it out by the end of the year. Everything is fine. This offseason is just a bunch of fake news from the liberal media.
Oh, God. We have Tucker Carlson joining us now.
What is happening? What is going on? I'll
Sean,
tell you what's going on.
Who's your pick for the AFC East?
I'm also going with the Bills. It's nothing groundbreaking. I do think that we'll get to the Dolphins. I think they're going to be improved. But like you said, we're all kind of scared to pick them to win the Super Bowl because everyone's doing it. But I'm very comfortable picking them to finish ahead of the Jets, Dolphins, and Pats. So I think they're going to win the division probably pretty easily.
Probably. All right. Coming up on Vanessa
probably
and Gallant.
Pretty easy.
Yeah, I like that. That should be the name of my book. All right, coming up on... No, I didn't mean it like that. I just was trying to get out that awkward comment.
I'm sure you did.
And that sounded terrible. All right, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, we just did AFC, so let's do the NFC probably pretty easily. That's coming up next.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Warrior sound!
Real. Let's go! Fun. Sports.